good to see each of you this morning to be able to celebrate God's goodness in our lives. It's a very full weekend. We had an all-day seminar here yesterday for ministry leaders in the church, and I'm just so grateful for that time as we shared together some of our understanding of how God would want to shape us as a church into the future. So continue to pray for that aspect of the life of the church as well. Just on a church family note regarding the announcement last week of a resignation of an elder, if you weren't here and you don't want any clarification, would you please seek out one of the elders of the church after the service this morning? We want to provide that avenue for you. I'm very excited about this morning and our baptismal candidates. I think they've kind of been hiding over on the side. We've got them in beautiful gowns, blue gowns. And, you know, I know that Ron Scott just loves being in a gown here in the service this morning. But praise the Lord for the baptisms that are going to take place this morning. This is a wonderful step, and you're going to hear a little more detail from them. For many people, it's often hard to get a handle on what spiritual transactions have actually taken place, what God has actually done for us in coming to the place of faith, crossing that line of faith, opening our hearts to Jesus Christ, and asking Him to be our Lord and Savior, asking for cleansing and forgiveness of sin. So there's lots of stories written, lots of movies made, lots of plays produced, with the theme of a Savior who delivers people. Many of them are illustrations of God's action to save you and me for eternity. The scripture verse I want to focus on today, actually it's just part of a verse, it is like a laser pointer that draws our attention to what our baptismal candidates are saying by being baptized, saying about what God has done in their lives. So if you have your Bibles open to that scripture passage, Romans chapter 6, verse 13, the middle section of the verse, it's a little gem of a statement that's kind of buried in this scripture passage. I want to just point it to you and highlight it, and we'll celebrate it. It says there, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. That's exciting stuff. This is worth celebrating. Coming from death to life, spiritually. Here's a real life story that helps us grasp something of what God has done. This is in the human physical realm, and it is an analogy for what God has done in the spiritual realm. This happened on March 5th, 1994, in Salt Lake City, Utah. There was a training class for police officers taking place, not in the police station, but in the city library. And during a time when these police students were doing some desk work on their own, the teacher, whose name was Deputy Sheriff Lloyd Prescott, stepped out into the hallway to take a breather and just relax a little bit. The timing was amazing. As he stepped out into the hallway, he stepped into the middle of a commotion of people, where in fact a gunman was holding 18 hostages and herding them into a nearby room. With a flash of insight and instinct, including the realization that he was dressed in street clothes for once, Prescott joined the group and became the 19th hostage. The gunman got them into the room and shut the door. Neither he nor the other hostages realized that someone else had voluntarily joined them. But once the hostage taker started announcing the order in which he would execute the hostages, the officer identified himself as a policeman. And in the struggle that followed, the armed man was shot and killed. What a turnaround in the life of the hostages. All the hostages went from being under a sentence of death to being released unharmed. How do you think those 18 hostages felt about someone who had voluntarily joined their plight in order to save them? You see, this baptismal service and these people being baptized are telling us that that story illustrates what has happened to them spiritually. Friends, the great reality of our world is that mankind is held hostage by sin and by Satan. There are spiritual realities there that in our culture we don't like to pay attention to, and we want to wash them away in psychology and psychiatry, in social services. But there are some spiritual realities that that story illustrates. Whether you look at the war zones of our world or the greed of the affluent that multiplies their profits on the backs of the oppressed workers in underdeveloped countries, or at the incredible volume and cycles of broken and abused relationships that are all around us. Our own ability to do the right and good that we know we should demonstrates to ourselves in our own lives that we're not God, that Satan has an impact, and that in many lives we are held hostage until we find escape from that spiritual death. But just as surely as the gunman declared that the hostages were under a sentence of death, the sin that holds us hostage brings us a sentence of spiritual death, both in this life and the next. It is a situation that is beyond fixing by the tools that humanity has in hand. And apart from spiritual, supernatural rescue, we are under condemnation. I like the analogy of this story because of how Jesus carried out his rescue operation for us as we turn our hearts to him. Because Jesus showed up in street clothes. He never did have the uniform of a religious leader. He came undercover as a carpenter. And he entered into our hostage-held experience without hardly anyone noticing it. He became fully human, fully vulnerable. There was only one thing that made him significantly different than the rest of us. He was armed. But not in a typical way. He was armed with sinlessness. And that was what gave him power over the hostage taker when we were without hope. Now, we know that what sets Jesus' rescue operation apart from most of others is that he saved us by dying. While there are cases in human stories where people were physically saved by someone else dying, Jesus died as a sacrifice. His death was beyond the normal. He died as a ransom payment for you and me. And only his sinlessness qualified him to be able to pay the full price of what all our accumulated sins required. That's your sin that was paid for by Jesus dying. It's my sin that was paid for by Jesus dying 2,000 years ago. But then, what fully sets Jesus' rescue operation apart is that he came back to life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not just the same life. He was resurrected to a glorified eternal life through which he could not only set us free from our hostage taker, but he could also put new life inside of us, whereby we can share his glorified life. He brought us from death, spiritual death, to life, spiritual life, to be lived in this life as well as the life to come. He can give divine power right into these mortal lives that we are living, that can get us through all the renewed attacks of the evil one that will come after we've been set free. Friends, when we believe, when we internally accept to ourselves the gift of that rescue, our lives are not our own. They've been bought by that ransom price. And our reasonable response is to now offer that life back to God and to live for him and to serve him. And that is what has been so clear in being with May Cook's family in these last couple days since she passed away. The testimony of her life through you, and so many of you talking about that, but through her own sons, as they saw lived out in front of him, of them, the life of Jesus Christ, and they give testimony to that. What a great witness. What a great reality. That not only are we set free, but we're energized, we're given the power of the Holy Spirit within us to live that new life that exemplifies Jesus Christ and is a powerful magnet for others to come to Jesus Christ to be set free from the hostage taker of their own lives. That's what our scripture text says. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. When we offer ourselves to God, we search out what he wants to include in our lives. God, what's my purpose? What's your will for my life? And one of the things we discover is being baptized. In Matthew's record of Jesus' life and ministry, we see his public ministry, those 3 years of public ministry, bookended by two significant statements about baptism. The first statement Jesus made about baptism was by example. Here's the scene. John the Baptist is at the pinnacle of his ministry. He's holding outdoor meetings down by the Jordan River. He's an authentic voice from God, and people are saying, a new prophet has arisen. And crowds are flocking. It lists the countries from which they come and in that surrounding area to hear John the Baptist preach and to be baptized. And what's John the Baptist's message? Repent of your sins and be baptized to show that you're serious about it and that you're going to make some changes in your life. Baptism showed that a heart was committed to following God. Well, Jesus came to one of those meetings. He joined in the lineup to be baptized. This was to be his first step into public ministry of teaching about the kingdom of God. Well, when John the Baptist looked up and saw Jesus, his cousin, the next one in line, he said, "Whoa! What's this? You don't need to be baptized by me," implying that he knew the sinless quality of Jesus' life. "John the Baptist said, I need to be baptized by you." Jesus' next words carry great significance for us. You know what his answer was? Listen to it. "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." He's saying, this is the right thing to do to declare that you're following God's way. And by being baptized, Jesus here is establishing baptism as the sign for all his followers. So that when we come to repentance, when we open our life fully to God, we follow his example. We do it to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus didn't have sins to repent of. We do, but it's still right in our lives to follow Jesus in his example of being baptized. And then, of course, on that day, when Jesus was baptized, in a further sign of affirmation of God's pleasure with baptism, as soon as Jesus was baptized, a dove, the symbol, the embodiment of the Holy Spirit, came down and rested on Jesus. And I guess to other people there was a roll of thunder, but God spoke from heaven, and he said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, Marg and Ron, I'm not sure about the dove, I'm not sure about the thunder, but we know that God is pleased at the step that you are choosing to take today. You are declaring yourselves that in no uncertain terms you are followers of Jesus Christ. Now, we know from the Bible record that Jesus carried this forward as he began to invite people to follow him and soon had his disciples baptizing others who stepped out from the crowd and declared themselves for God. So that's one bookend of Jesus' ministry. The other is found right in the final verses of Matthew's gospel. And Jesus, at this point in Matthew 28, is saying his final words to that group of 11 disciples that were with him after the resurrection. And he gives a command to them that becomes a command to all the future followers of Jesus. These are marching orders for all of us. It's commonly called the Great Commission, but we should probably call it the Everyday Commission because Jesus wants all of us putting this into practice every day of our lives. These final words of Jesus mandate us all to make disciples, to do it in our everyday interactions with our peers. The original text of this verse from the Greek could well be translated, "As you are going, make disciples." The second step of making disciples, Jesus says in this verse, is to baptize them. Do you hear the expectation in Jesus' words that all disciples will be baptized? That's just his understanding. That's his commission to us as we continue to expand the kingdom of God. And then these final words of Jesus go on to mandate ongoing learning for baptized disciples. He says there, "and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So as we seek to live as Christians, we hear from Jesus at each end of his ministry life, by example, it is right to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. by commission, when we become disciples, we will be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those who will be baptized in a few minutes are responding to the direction of the Savior, who lived among us and shared our life, who saved us from the captivity of sin by paying the ransom price of our sins by sacrificing his own life for ours. As they go down into the water, and we do baptism by immersion, there's a wonderful baptistry tank behind us here, and they're going to get all wet. As they go down into the water of baptism, that going down into the water is identifying with the death of Jesus Christ. It's an act of dying. They've been afraid that they're going to die. But I've assured them that I've done this before. And if nothing else, we'll count on a resurrection. Am I getting you nervous yet? Going down into the water is symbolizing that the old sinful way of life has been put to death through accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. His death on the cross, vicarious, substitutionary, has been applied to their lives. They are symbolizing that they're dead to the old way of life. Being completely immersed symbolizes the burying of the old life with Christ in the grave. And it symbolizes that old life belongs in the grave. If you want to go back to Romans chapter 6 and read that through after the service today, you'll just see this symbolism so explicit in this passage. And that baptism by immersion fills this symbolism in a wonderful way. But they do rise up out of the water. And that identifies us with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, rising to new life. These candidates are declaring themselves to live for Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit and declaring that they will go on learning more and living more of Christ's will for them. We're going to pray and close this part of the service, and then we're going to go and get ready for it. You're going to sing a song as a congregation. After the end of the whole service, just want to remind you that there will be a couple of our prayer team members that will come to the front of the church here. And if there's something about this service that stirs your heart, and you'd like to ask more about it, you'd like to inquire, you'd like to have someone pray with you, perhaps you would like to know the reality of being freed from the hostage taker, being freed from the power of sin. That's a wonderful opportunity. That's always available. But this is a very special time to be able to do that. As you see the step these people are taking as an example into your life, and you want to know the reality of dying to the old way of life, leaving it behind, rising to new life, and going on in the power of the Holy Spirit, the reality is that that's done by repenting, by praying, asking Jesus to forgive your sins, asking him to come into your life. That's where the movement from death to life actually takes place. This is just a symbolic way of telling you about it. And so at the end of the service today, you may want to do that. You may have come with a heavy heart. As a church, we've been through a couple tough weeks. And there may be some things you want to pray about. You want to just ask someone to pray with you as you work through some of the things that are happening in our lives as God is moving us forward and Satan is rising to bring disturbance and discouragement. We're committed that that's not going to cause us to be discouraged. We're going to go on in Jesus Christ, in the power of his Spirit. And so if your heart is heavy, at the end of the service, after the baptisms are over, just make your way to the front. And there'll be some people that would be glad to pray with you at that time. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the great, wonderful reality that we can move from death to life, from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, not only in this life, but in the life to come, having ahead of us the glorious reality of eternity with Jesus Christ. And we know that May is enjoying that today. And she's saying, oh, don't be sad for me. Share the good news with others. Bring others along with you when you come to join me in heaven. And Lord, today we're going to celebrate as two people go through the waters of baptism. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brian come and lead some singing.